Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Blackmore Tribal Edition. We're joining you from wherever you are listening to this program. I hope you're doing well. We've got Ginyara, Yirrlim and myself, Murumu, here in the Yidinji headquarters. Bumi is coming in later on today, but I don't think he'll be making it for the show. So we're going to be moving forward with talking about sovereignty and a few other things that are happening around the world. Obviously, it's a bit interesting with what's going on in the Middle East and elsewhere. There's lots of news, not just in the Middle East, but obviously the dominant narrative is coming out of there and the US. Ginyara, some interesting times ahead. I think it's very important now for the tribal nations to come forth with a solution and a remedy to show the rest of the world how fallen they've become, and to actually try and bring some peace and security to the whole picture.
Well, quite obviously we've got to do something, because what's been out there at present hasn't really worked, has it? You know, the world has been in turmoil and argument. And you know, look, Yidinji remain neutral as a tribal nation. We've got to remain neutral out of all this, because, you know, what you see going on in the Middle East, over in you know, the Balkans or whatever, you know, in East Europe or West Russia, whichever way you put that, that's all UN member states, you know, so we've got to remain neutral out of this. But remember, within all those UN member states, there are tribal nations that were there before the UN member state was created. And, you know, that's sort of where we've got to step up to the plate, because we've come back to do the right thing according to the laws that haven't been ceded and they're not extinguished. And a part of that is to ensure that safety and security applies for all people. And I won't say persons here, because this is in the world of real now, the real tangible thing. You go and see a man or a woman or a child walking around, that's the real deal. They aren't persons, they're people. And, you know, as part of the doctrine, you know, that Yidinji have always had as their cosmological narrative, is that life of people is very precious and it shouldn't be taken very lightly the way it's used now. So we've got to step up to the plate and start to offer solutions to what we see as issues that may have effect on us, you know, because if what's going on in the Middle East, or even in the Ukrainian-Russian war, argument there, whatever it is, that there are nuclear facilities that can be hit or struck and release radioactive material into the atmosphere, which somehow, with all the way the world operates, you know, the physical world, it'll end up down here, or it ends up in the water that ends up in our fish, you know. So we've got to be very aware of all this. We're not sitting out here on our own in some little faraway part of the world. This is just the ball we live on. And it's what happens over there affects us here. So we've got to step up to the plate and start to offer solutions.
Yeah, and for the flat earthers out there that are listening, you know, it's not necessarily a ball if you don't want it to be a ball. But the most important thing that Ginyara just said there is about the value of life. And even when you think about how supermarkets and everything else get their meats and vegetables, a lot of it is done at speedy rates, unnatural, let's say, can be. But they're the things that we need to bring back into that line from a sovereignty point of view. It is about food sovereignty, about how to work well with nature, for example, how to do things as natural as possible without, you know, getting too much into additives, chemicals, this, that and the other. And unfortunately, I think the world's sort of gone a bit little silly on that, but there's always a way back. And sometimes nations like the Yidinji Nation can offer that real stability and knowledge when it comes to actually living with the environment and working with it.
Yeah, of course. You know, the world's unfortunately focused on profits over people, and you know it's that well-being of people that is the most important thing before we worry about profits. You know, there really should be a world, you know, so you said you do it the Yidinji way. It would be a world where everybody has access to the highest quality foods, not the lowest quality, because that's all you can afford. You know, the whole Yidinji system of supporting its people and people working within Yidinji Nation would allow that to happen, and move away from this profit-based narrative, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with making a profit, but when it comes over the well-being of people, it's a little bit off track. So, you know, the Yidinji obviously brings that well-grounded, moral-based approach to what's important in the world.
Yeah, Ginyara.
Well, do people who don't understand this, you know, that we've talked to, do they deserve the highest quality material goods, you know, of the nation if they don't support the nation? You know, I'm not being nasty to say they don't deserve food, but people, you know, that understand the real position of Yidinji, that we're back at a tribal level, and they've refused outright. No, I don't support that. I subscribe to the belief of Australia. You know, that's where my money is made. That's where my life is. That's where all my stuff is. You know, so what's going to happen to people like that? You know, and that when there comes out, when it comes a time when the material goods, you know, are withheld because of issues such as the supply of oil, for example. You know, if oil doesn't get to Australia or fuel doesn't get to Australia, how do the goods get from down south up to here? You know, there's all these supply chain issues that Australia will face, you know, and this is part of our world. And then do those people, and they don't subscribe to the Yidinji way, do they have the right then to take more material goods off the Yidinji nation to which it doesn't subscribe? You know, this is just so crazy. I would like to be able to sit down with people and say, look, this is how it operates, and this is where you've got to be, and you've got to support us. Because I keep saying to everyone, where's Australia's territory? Where's its homeland? You know, we got our territory and our homeland. We know where we belong because it's always been here that way. It's been forever and a day, time immemorial. But the other ones who Johnny come lately, who don't believe in us, think that we're trespassers on our territory. You know, they're the ones that are really the belligerent occupants on our country. So when you look at trust law and all that sort of stuff there, you know, as Julia Gillard said, we hold this place in trust for sovereign people. Who are those sovereign people? Are they the Australians who are the belligerent occupants on our territory? Or is it the Aboriginal people whose land that Australia settled upon? You know, I'm not trying to remove the importance of all people getting good food, but if you don't believe in what we're doing or what we're subscribing to, about trying to settle the past and secure the future for everyone for not one Australian dollar, we don't want their money. We're doing this for nothing, for free for them, to get access to some of our product, you know. But this is what I'm saying. Do they deserve it? Once they know this and they don't want to support it?
Well, it's a very good question, and one that we've been asking, you know, and thinking about for a very long time. The most important thing that the Yidinji Nation has is this long-lasting covenant. And when we talk about that, we use the same thing between the Creator and the Yidinji Nation, for example. So the Creator gave this piece of land and dominion to the Yidinji Nation and to the people. And, you know, he gave the Anglo-Saxon theirs and Greeks and Persians and everyone else their own territories. But here, you know, fewer than 150 years ago, let's say, the Yidinji Nation came across the belligerent occupier, which is today turned into the Commonwealth of Australia, State of Queensland, whatever it is. And as we have said here, it's not against that really. It's more about how can we work together to make things better. And that's always been the way. And I'll just, before I get to you, Gunyara, I might just bring, Bumi's just walked into the office here, so I might get him the purple microphone if someone can stop using their mobile phone on radio. Yes, I'm looking at you. I'm not going to mention any names. But anyway, Bumi, it's always been Yidinji way. Like when you got involved officially with the government, it's all about peace and your father and your grandfather was there to make the law strong and keep people safe from everything.
Yeah. It was safe, you know that. Well, we won't put it this way, but like they came in Australia, and but they done the wrong thing, you know, with us. And it's a hard thing for us to get on now, like, for what they done. They're not going to give us anything back. And yet they just keep on going, the white man, you know? And we're still here. We're still Yidinji people. We have Aboriginal people in Australia. I watch about NITV. I don't know what this bloke's name. He works on NITV. With interviewing one girl over Hobart and for what happened then. Oh, it was sad, like, it's sad here with us too, because in Yarraba and in Cairns, you know, it wasn't a good show, and I would like that bloke to come up here one day so he can walk with me. So we can have a talk up here too. I'll pick you. I don't know what his name is. He's always on the NITV, and I really want to have a good talk to him. Yesterday he has really hit home call out of a girl was talking to him. He says, not land rights, it's rights of land or something like that, she put it. I seen it over there when I was over Hobart. And it's very good. There's a little chit there, if I can keep on going, bro. There's a little chit there, and it was a dormitory or in a chain to be a church. But around the church there, that's where they've been buried, the people there, the old people there, Aboriginal people. And they was asking this old girl, why are you going to sit down around the church or planting those trees? She said, I'm planting these trees because my people died here, and that's where they've been massacred them, you know. So they put a fence around their church. Yeah, oh, jolly sad. I've been there. And I seen that film, I thought, oh, I was there. And yeah, like I see you now. That I see you, and we see here, you hear us how we talk. I don't see anything, you know. I can't see it, you know. That I want to see it. You know, I tell all these big shot, I'm in charge here in Gimoy, and I've been put for my dad, you know, granddad, you know. He was in charge. He was in charge, and I want to see a fair go. I'm sure they're tired of not breaking down. And what's, I don't know who they're next in charge there. They got a break. They got a break, and because we're still going to go. Because on Bumma Bipra, we don't talk about how they get it from here. But they might need to fire it off there too. But I don't think there's any more held up there in Bumma Bipra. But that's good they're getting it off us. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, like I said before about that long-lasting covenant, and the same way that other nations will say that's, you know, they're God's chosen people. Well, God's chosen people for this part of the world is the Yidinji Nation. And what is that? It is the stewardship, the eldership, everything else to look after other people that are here. So that's a very, very sacred bond. And what Kalna was just saying then, Bumi was saying, is that he's saying, well, how far are these fellows going to go? They're going to go against the boss, the creator, really. That's who they're going against. So there needs to be, the Yidinji Nation has to act a certain way for the international community to receive that message, Ganyara.
Yeah, look, I've got a question for Uncle here now, you know, to highlight to the rest of the world the Yidinji way. Now, did Yidinji, see, we're talking about food security. Did anyone inside Yidinji be deprived of good food simply based on some fictitious thing like a dollar? You know, now they're using, the Australian world is using the dollar to deprive people of food, you know, the right to food, good food. Now, I'll ask Uncle here, was there any stage in the old days where anyone was ever deprived of good quality food just because you didn't have something in your pocket called money?
You can get that food, you had to work for it.
Yeah, we need to work for it, and we had to line up for no good food. We call ration.
but what I'm talking about, Uncle, is before the white fella come to ration food out, you know, in the old days, when we're going to go hunting dugong, we're going to go getting turtle, we're going to go getting turkey egg, did the youngest kid who couldn't go out to help with that, was he ever deprived of a meal just because he didn't have a dollar in his pocket? Like what we see now, we see the Aboriginal people being deprived of everything in their world, you know, but I'll guarantee, and this is something that Uncle understands, when the Yidinji people were in their true capacity, no white fella involved, they got the best food was for everyone.
Yeah, I hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, so just let Uncle go along a little bit, yet I've got to break out of my voice here too, because
see, now we're eating fish and chips, takeaway food and all that. That took the flavour away from our mouth. And see, before time we smelled the breeze, we know when time to go hunting and we know what's going to be on. And those food we eaten long time, crayfish, fish, barramundi, coral trout, they were beautiful, you know, and porcupine and cassowary and turkey and fruit pigeon.
Plenty of woman there too, eh?
shut up.
Everyone was entitled to that good food.
Everyone was entitled to the good food.
That was, yeah. So you look at the old people photo today, that they're very strong, you know, the old people photo when they took them, you know, because of the right meal we was eating, you know. We don't go out every day, we just go certain times, you know. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you were talking about, you know, like fish and chips now. What fish and chip made of, old shark or what, you know? He could be anything. Yet before, what was he? What was the good fish made of? The original fish out there.
The right fish out there. Right time to go, you know. But these things what we're eating today, they all got poison in them, you know. They've been pumped up. You eat some meat today, they're all pumped up, you know, and they got no taste, you know.
No good food, eh?
No good food.
So everyone, all people should have the right to good quality food, security of food, make sure they're all fed. But that's right. Australia, they're depriving everyone because you don't have a dollar in your pocket.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very good that, Conlon, you're talking about that, because I know that you also got your own little vegetables going as well. I know that some of the hotels are looking at your vegetables because they've got no chemicals in it and all that stuff. That's very good. That's a good start. And, you know, that is a very important part of it. When we're talking about sovereignty, that includes everything, like from data sovereignty to food sovereignty.
Yeah.
And that Minya has to be good, you know. And unfortunately, we don't know where some of these things come from.
Well, think about this. If they strike these nuclear reactors over in the Middle East and that radioactive material ends up in the sea, like what happened up in Fukushima, you know, when that reactor there got swamped, and all that radioactive material is being dumped in the ocean now for the big cooling tanks, where's it ending up? It's ending up in our fish down here. It's coming down through the ocean currents, ending up in our fish. Now, they're radioactive, and we're going to eat them fish? You think about this. This is what we're on this planet together. How come we can't have food security, food sovereignty, with good quality food? You know, they're only just people aren't worth a bob, you know. They're not worth anything. Not in our world. All people, the humans, are all worth life, you know, and this is our belief, is to protect all life on our country.
Yeah, it's people-centred sovereignty. So when we're talking about cooperation at the international level, the Indian Nation is putting forward a people-centred, whether it's defence cooperation, food sovereignty. It's working with local farmers, producers that really want to tap into that, what you're talking about and what Colin is talking about. But Eurolim, it's one of those things where we're getting people in here all the time that do want to learn about Yidinji and you know, they're coming in to look at the, for example, the homeschooling element of Yidinji, and, you know, that's a start. I mean, this is what we're here for, is to help people where we can.
Yeah, it's a demonstration of the cultural richness that lives within Yidinji and within all the nations of this continent and, of course, many throughout the world. You know, the traditional ways of teaching, bringing children up, are the most powerful and you know, of course, recognised by us as being the best way to bring children up. It brings them up morally centred. It brings them up with an ability to navigate the world. And as Colin was pointing out before, you know, the ability to share food with each other. You know, it's a different lifestyle. And you wonder, people often ask, you know, and wonder, how can something so ancient as the Yidinji Nation have anything to contribute to modern day? And yet, that example before about how food was distributed, the needs and dependence, you know, people weren't privileged in the sense of, you know, who produced or who caught the food didn't get the most food. It was about, you know, what is needed for everybody to be in their most highest state, their well-being state. And, you know, things were shared equally. If it was considered money, if food was considered money, it wasn't dished out based on who earned it. It was dished out on based on who needs it. You know, what the needs are, whose dependents they've got, how many kids they're looking after. It's a different way of approaching things rather than money-based.
Yeah, it's that people-centred collective approach to things. And one of the other things that we wanted to have a look at was that, you know, and I can say this from my own experience, is that, you know, we homeschooled my young fella, and Bumi Kalna, you taught him how to make spear and which tree and everything else, and he makes spears now, even today. So it's those little things like that that are important, and like you are his like father or teacher, but that's how our mob work. You've got different mothers, you've got different all them things, you know, and that's a very important thing. And sometimes it's the smallest little bit of information that can go a long way and keep keep surviving.
Yeah. Thank you, son. So with Gunja and Murrum when you're all here, every time I take them out, I take Jerome out yet and Murrum up that hill. And it's very good that I take people out and my lot to show them, you know, where we walked and go hunting and talk language there. And I really like that as a elder, you know, that it's really brightened me up to, you know, these little tracks and what took place there, what I've been told. I'm glad I've been with Dad and Mum. My mum, you know, come from a long way, and you know, she picked that word up in Yarraba, Yufla, and yeah, she felt home in Yarraba because the salt water was out there. The water was too rough for us to go out. Well, that's where all the toughies out there, and now Barramundi out there, but they were pretty good, you know. And, I really like out there, George Chan and Con Curry, and I've been out there. But coming back here to Red Lynch, and like we talk about now, the tracks, you know, and it's very good. And I'm just going to show a couple of people all these things, but I don't want to show a lot of people. I want to keep it for myself too. That's all I got, you know.
Well, that's wisdom is like pearls, you know. You don't throw them away for anybody, I think it's important. That's like a living histories museum, Ganyara. When we're talking about those things now, and that eldership, that's part of Bumi's job, and that was his grandfather's same way, and his father, and our parents too. They gave us knowledge to make our lives a little bit better and easier, even though sometimes we think we knew more than they did.
Yeah, you look. Like their uncle now, you go back 30, 40 years ago, he said, oh, why have I got to learn this? But that's the creator's choice for him. The creator said, okay, you're coming down this line here. Now, you're going to be the one that's going to be appointed authority at the end, you know. When you get to a bit older in life, you know, you're not 20 now, but when you get to 40, 50, 60, you've got to start to know the law that's been appointed to you by the creator. No one else, you know. Otherwise, there'd be someone else. If it wasn't him that was appointed, there'd be someone else of the male bloodline that would be above him. But it was appointed to him because maybe back in the day when, you know, when he didn't realise it, that he was going to have the knowledge and the intellect and the ability to understand that the Yidinji nation is a great thing, that it gives everyone a fair go, you know. Mm-hmm. It could have been appointed to someone who was greedy and selfish, you know, and I'm going to have all this just for me. Mm-hmm. But no more. See, that's why he was given this, you know, by the Creator, because he had this fairness already in him from day one. From when he was born, there was a fairness that come down that line, because he understood the law, you know, that was there. I'll give you a good example. You know, there are every community, don't worry whether you're black, white or brindle, it doesn't matter, there's drugs involved now. There's drugs everywhere. And why are people resorting to go and growing drugs or selling drugs to make a dollar to go and do what? Those sort of people who are doing that have not been appointed by the Creator to go and hold the law for and on behalf of a nation, be it Australia, be it anywhere else. Ask mob, any mob. That's why those people buying and selling drugs, for example, don't hold proper law within a tribe, because they weren't appointed like the Maker. Now, I can safely say 100%, Uncle here has not went out and grown drugs and sold drugs for money to try and be the boss man. This was handed down because he had the wisdom to not do that, and it was fair, you know. When you see people buying and selling drugs to make money to get food, those people are morally corrupt because they're destroying someone else's life so they can get a better life, which is wrong. Now, Uncle, you know, tell me how tough life was as someone who didn't do that. You know, it was pretty tough for a long time there. Mm. And it's only lately that he's starting to shine because of this understanding that the Creator said to him, you're going to be the one for this area here to talk for it because of your fairness and your perseverance to stick to it, even though times were hard and very tough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for that. Can I get it? That's right. Like this fellow on NITV in the Gillo, how old he wished they can come up with a lot of money I could have fly to me. And they really hit me last night. They were on NITV, and that was really good, talking about the tough stuff, the real stuff, the truth stuff, you know. Their action was speaking louder than their words, and you can see it on their face. And you know, we're not pretending or anything like that. It's not. It's the truth. It's the truth that what we've been near our parents, you know, and go to these places. Because one time I went up to Normanton, I asked one of them boys, where's the old place? I said, I want to see the old place. He never caught on what I said, no, we went there, stayed before. And where he took me, oh, jolly, I cried then, Normanton. It was out of back of the hospital. I said, them Aboriginal staying there. He said, yeah, it is, put us here. I said, oh, that's not on that. Yeah, they treat us like dogs, you know. I said, that's not right on Australia and on our ground, you know. Yeah, but coming back to all these things that we went through, they were good stuff, you know, what we eat, walk about, you know, hunt, make our own house and know which, you know, fruit to get or chew on some vine or cook with some leaf and what wood we're going to use, you know. Yeah.
You're listening to Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to our friends at Bumblebee Promedia, 98.7 FM, and if you're listening outside of the Yidinja Territory, it's via the National Indigenous Radio Service. We'll be back after the break.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm from Arnhem Land. My band called Andrew Guru Band, and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Ganyaro, we're talking about how people are appointed, let's say, from the heavenly realm. It doesn't mean that we're all perfect, obviously, because obviously we're no better than anyone else, but the understanding and calling and doing it because it's the right thing is two different things. So you know that you could be doing something, but you're sort of doing it for yourself. And, I've been guilty of that in my lifetime many times, where I make a selfish decision and whether it's, you know, eating the last bit of cheese in the fridge and not giving it to my son or whatever it may be. You know, there's all those types of things too. But in fairness, you could not have designed what has taken place. The very world that we know of today is the jurisdictions are very unstable. The world is brinkering and, World War III potentially. If it hasn't already been done. And here we are with Kulna and the elders from all the different clan groups that put their names to this many years ago, showing the way in terms of tribal sovereignty, legal clarity, co-design, without disrupting international law. These are the things that we never been to university even, you know, but we're doing it because it's the right thing. And when you have the truth, like Conlon said, you don't have to lie about these things. It's your story. That's it. There's no other story. You don't have to pretend or remember that lie you've been told or this, that, and the other. It is absolute truth, and the truth is going to set them free, but they're going to have to sit down and follow what's going on and support it, more importantly.
Unless they've sold their soul to the devil. And that's an important part. Now, Uncle could have done that years ago. You know, you give me the money and I'll go and do this. Oh, I won't even go back down this line of sovereignty. But no more. You know, you've got to go and meet the Maker one day. He's got this big book up there when you go to meet the Maker and he says, okay, you tell me what you've done on earth today or last year or whatever. Show me how you changed your way, because no one is perfect, because they always say, let the perfect one cast the first rock, you know. No one will be throwing any rocks around this part of the world. None of us are perfect. But we've got to understand when we do make a mistake, we can, go and work in the other way. Go and do the right thing for a change. And that's what Yidinji. Now, Yidinji was created a long time before any of us were here. It's been going for that long now. But most people have forgotten the law. They have forgotten what it's all about, what it's all about having humans involved in this thing called Yidinji. They're all too busy trying to be the person inside Australia, get the money, do whatever it is. And they've ignored the laws that we hear from time immemorial. But but things have changed recently, going back, 2010 and 2011, all this stuff. When there was enough, you know, land council fighting, native title fighting and arguing inside Australia, all over some miserable little bit of paper that they're going to give, which means to get that bit of paper, you've got to sell your soul to the devil to say, look, I am the owner. No more. The Yidinji Nation is the owner, not any individual, because the Creator will take him out when he's ready. You know, if you're misbehaving here, he'll just take you out. Thank you very much. You'll come with me. And we'll work out where you belong in the big picture of things later on. But this is all about now securing the, you know, settling the past and securing the future for everyone. Now, what do we do with all the Australians, Uncle, on country? You know, they're humans that are seen through a piece of paper in Australia, but what do we do with them? You know, we can't cause harm and injury to them, yet we're trying to offer to them, through a some sort of formal agreement, a mechanism for them to be here. The Yidinji government has worked this out long ago, a mechanism to let them be here properly on territory and, I suppose, have the good stuff of Yidinji available to them, not for money, not for profit, but for everyone. You know, and this is where the world goes wrong. They're going to seize our property and our assets and our material goods, our fish, for example, and sell them for profit. But hang on, they don't have the right to do that. So how do we work with them to do that? And the only way it would be to get us back in place and do treaties proper, you know, do proper formal agreements to let them be here on our world. And if they don't want to do that, what do we do then? We move forward without them.
Yeah. So, like, ready?
So, good greedy if I talk now.
I'm happy. So the tribe, the Yidinji tribe, so we fought back. My mum lot, they fought back. They didn't give up, but we didn't give up here. What I really said about them, that following the NITB and the Gilobo Hobart, I've got ammunition here too. I've got Murrumba, Kanjana, Yurulum, my other son here. Have we got a Yidinji here? We're already ready for anything now to fight back too. But we'll do it through our words. Before Dad and them would hold it back too. But they couldn't beat the gun, you know. They had the gun. But we're still here. And we're going to keep on keeping on.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. And, you know, you don't need gun. When you have the truth, as I said before,
that's right,
yeah, it's all about walking in the way. And that way is like your father and your grandfather. And there are many other elders on this land too that are doing the same, you know. But it comes back to, what is this all about? Why is Yidinji in this position? Why are the tribal nations on this continent in the same position? And what are they doing about it? And, you know, it's no judgment on anyone who doesn't do it. All I'm saying is that many have been called, but very few step up for it because maybe people think it's too hard or, you know, and it is for some people because they might be on a dialysis machine or, you know, looking after 20 kids or whatever it may be. That's a real job in itself. And we're not saying that's an excuse to not do it. But all we're just saying is that people have realities. You know, I was asked by the Yidinji elders to do this, I was relatively healthy and I still am, although I need to go on a few more walks yet. But at the same time, you know, I felt comfortable with it and my son doing it as well. Not because we wanted to be on TV and on all the newspapers, but it was the right thing to do. And to know that that's the main thing for, because, you know, some people can't do that. For example, some of the Yidinji people, they can't talk like we're talking today, and that's okay. They do what they need to do. They pass on the knowledge that they have from their families and their fathers and mothers to their immediate families. That's all we can ask. Mm. And not to lose hope. That's the main thing. And that goes for any tribe on this continent. You may have lost your language, your dance, whatever it is, you still have the law running through your blood, and that is the truth. You don't need anything else. Once you start to realize the power that you got, not through gun or anything else or how much money you got in your bank, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Sovereignty is knowing that you have this unbroken connection to the Creator that gave you fellows this job to look after this land. And now you have to step up and tell the rest of the world that this is the true way of living, not this other gammon way of lying and two-faced, three-faced, five-faced. And that's the most important thing. You can use that other face to talk to the mother fellows, but really you still got to tell the truth, and that's what we're doing through SYG, Ganyara, through the government.
The Yidinji government is established for a reason, to show the rest of the world that we aren't of that world over there. We aren't of the UN world at this stage because we never agreed to create the UN world. You know, the Commonwealth of Australia was one of the founding members to set up the UN, United Nations. Same with the Americans. You know, they were a founding member of it. And they set out a charter of this is what it's going to be. This is how the world's going to operate if you're over in the UN world, if you're a member of that. Most people think that, most people believe that that's the only world they got to go to, but globally, what we're doing here, globally, can be applied. This is what we're doing back at a tribal level, because if you go and read the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, very simple, very clear, very plain. You know, Article 5, or the Article 3, 4, you've got the right to autonomy and self-government. That's what we're doing. You've got the right to take part in the life of the state, if you so choose, that is the UN member state of Article 5. Mm. And Article 8 says you can't be forced to assimilate. Now, that's exactly what we're doing. We're doing this properly for a reason, to show that we're not of this world that's going out there that sold their soul to the devil for a miserable dollar. You know, we haven't sold our soul for 10 Australian dollars or anything to do with that world. They can't afford to pay us. Now, if we're going to do this, keep going properly, can they pay us for our territory? Can they pay us for our country? You know, what's the value of having good, clean coral trout sitting out the front? Good, clean turkey egg, whatever. You name it. What's the value of that? Money can't buy that. They can't afford to buy that office to say, oh, look, we've taken over your territory, you know, we're taking over your country, so we've got to fix you up according to Article 28 of the Declaration. Article 28 says either give it back or pay for the place. What's the value of the place? Uncle, you tell me what the value of your place. Could they pay enough money to put the toe back on grandfather? You know what I mean? And the hurt and harm that's caused your family from then right through now.
Yeah, well, see there. The Hoi Dingi and the Ice family are big thing through mum way and through dad way, you know. And they've been taking us to them country. I know them people up that way. And they know me very well. Mum took us up to me aunt in Albert, right at Georgetown. I went to Consulary on my own at Ural and me, and we had a good time with all our mother family there. Dad's not here, he Dingi, you know. Yeah, your dad took us around. I'm proud of that because they held me a lot. They held a tribe a lot now for two of them, you know, mum and dad, you know. Oh, yeah.
And what I like about, see, anything we're doing without the government here, it's not just for you and me. It's when we're talking about people-centred growth, we're talking about the clan groups. When we look at the Jabbokai families, Konganji families, Mullumburra, you know, all those things. This is about getting them strong. Because in Australia, they might have a good life, they may not have a good life. But what we're trying to do here is build that tribal way of life back again to make people stronger.
Yeah.
So they can go with more confidence and start to look after their land, not just for one family or one person, but for everybody. Yeah. And in the world of money, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking to these rich people, they're not rich because they've been given money to everybody.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have no money, you know. And, you know, if someone comes and asks you for a piece of fish, you're going to give them a rock or a snake, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's what we're saying. We got the truth here. We know what's coming and we know what we're doing. And it's not just for you and me and that's it. It's for your family and their family's family. And when you start to realise that everyone started to get related, even all the way through Cape York, with the intermarriages and everyone, so that Yidinji message is going everywhere now.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
See, all your tribe out there, I know, but we need to fight for sovereignty. The Mal people, the Mal girls and the tribe wasn't sovereignty. And that's what Yerulam and Gunjil and Murum are telling us here. They're helping us, really helping us, and they're with us. When I'm not saying all for him. Sometimes I forget what to say, but forgive me. See, we've got Jabbokai in there, and Cook Allenji, and all your lot here, closer neighbour to us, and Irriman tribe, we need to fight for sovereignty. Sovereignty is the answer. Them old people have been in sovereignty. And I would like to say that, you know, God got the key. He can bring them back to life now, today. And God is God, you know. He got the key, he can bring them back, and the old people say, what, you've never fixed it up yet, you know. I mean, what we're doing now is not growling and fighting and fighting amongst ourselves and doing all these other swearing and that. We're hitting the nail right on the head now. So, Uncle, it took me a long time to get on board, but I used to follow it and I stopped and I cover up and, but now, you know, maybe the Lord's saying it's time now to get out from the rock or whatever, come out, you know, and talk. And I feel real good, you know. It's my boldness. And I've never been frightened to come towards the mic. I'm thinking, oh, man, wasn't good in school. But I know what Dad and Mum used to, you know, make a damper and go to walk. And, you know, I was loose to it, and I said, I better get back to it. I feel real proud, you know. So that's how all you lot should be coming through now, hearing us on this radio here, you know. It's a good thing, Mama Bepra, and yeah.
Ganyara, what we're hearing through Kala and the other stories that we've heard over many years to do with nation building is the sovereign competence of the Yidinji Nation and how that can has manifested into a legal personality now, let's say, in form of a government that the rest of the world can sort of talk with. There is no excuse now for anyone to not work with us.
Well, let's go back to the start of the Yidinji government. And I can tell you now, it goes back a few years. This is not just the last 5 years, 6 years. I've got video footage of the first sitting of Parliament. And, you know, when I look at that, there's, you know, Gundjarabai was one of the founding members. He got that established and got up and running. And you go, wow, that's pretty important. I'm lucky we got video footage of that, you know, the first sitting. And by the way, it was in a park, you know. We didn't have all the fancy building like Canberra got down there and Queensland had got this big million-dollar building. No more. It was in a park in Atherton in the Tableland area. All the mob come up from down the coast here, come over from Jabakai. All the mob got together. And there's all the video footage of all the people. There's video footage of all the people raising their hand for the agreement to set up a government. And there was video footage of they were all agreeing that Gundjarabai go out and tell the world that Yidinji's back. And then there's video footage of them authorising him to do certain things, you know, and to start to pass laws. You know, this is the ancient old laws, you know, that belong there. Men speak for country. Women have their rights inside there, but men speak for country. Women don't speak for country in Yidinji. Them ancient old laws that, you know, marriage law, there's death laws, you know, that was all talked about at this first meeting of Parliament of the Yidinji government, sitting in a park up there in Atherton. And it was a cold night. I can tell you now, it was rather cool by the time we finished. It was about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock by the time it finished, but we start at lunchtime. And this is how we got him authorised. Gundjarabai was authorised to do this. And he went out and he made, you know, the nation was made there, the government was made there, but the nation's been here forever and a day. But we said, we've got to make a government to talk to this gammon government down here called Australia. Then we've got to have a government to be able to talk to the world. So we notified the whole entire world that Gundjarabai will be doing this on behalf of the Yidinji government. And we notified everyone from the Queen of England to the Pope, right through to the UN, right down to the local police station, that we're back going to be doing our thing.
And all those different houses were there. The house of Billy Possum, we've got the house of Rock Wallaby now, we've got the house of Fighting Hands, we've got the house of this, this, this and this, and all those houses is what this tribal council or group is protecting and reinvigorating, and the government here is putting that on paper and telling the world about it.
Absolutely, and that's the important part. Is that all those people come together to sit at that park that time to say, we want to do this, and we're going to do that for a reason. The reason was so that Australia could interact with us, because we're the tribal lot for here. It is for here and ever and a day, Yidinji country. But yeah, good to say I'm tribal Yidinji, but how do you interact with the modern world in paper? Unless you have a government together, how can you do that? Because, you know, where's Australia's tribal people? Where's their country? If this is our country, our territory, where's their country? How do we interact with them as equals if they're not equal to us? You know, so we had to create this thing underneath, and that's what the Yidinji government was all about, going back to create that. And here's the video footage of it. And if anyone wants to argue that this is, you know, not true, it's on video. There it is, and it's dated. And this is going back to January 2013, 5th of January 2013, that Gundjarabai will let the world know on the 7th of January 2013 that Yidinji government is now formed, it's back and now formed, and are starting to manifest itself into what we got here today, so we could interact with not only Australia, other UN member states. How about that idea that no one would have thought about going back 12 or 13 years ago?
And that's why the Yidinji National Day is January 7, because of that time he put pen to paper, but as a result of that meeting. And that's, you know, that's a few years before I got involved. So, you know, the people out there asking me, why did I do this? Because I got family members saying, well, why didn't you do it for your mob there or here? I said, well, I was born on this land here, and Tableland asked me to join them. So what can I say? You know, the house of Billy Possum. Then another mob been asked me. Name, there it is. Go and do your job. So I think that's a very important thing that we are, you know, we come and go, like you say, on this program. You know, we live and then we pass on. But what are we passing on when we go? This is exactly what we're talking about.
And it's that video footage. That's why we took video footage. We filmed it all. That's why we got, because when we go, you know, look, I look back at that the other night there, that video. I'm going, that one's passed away. That one's passed away. That one's passed away. This one's very crooked, not far off passing away. This one's very old. But this is where it's all there laid out, you know, and it showed all the families. It was incredible to see. When I look back at it now, the importance of it, of this video footage, this archive, that started day one of the Edindji government. Let me see where the video footage is of Australian government or British government. Where's the first day? Show me the first part to make that. They don't have that, do they? But we got ours. And this is very important to understand that we're here. And now people, you know, that weren't at that meeting, that, you know, were doing other stuff, they couldn't be there or didn't want to, whatever, but they can always come into that and understand what happened and why it happened.
You're listening to Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We're going to come back with some final comments.
Hey, it's Nate Miles here. Make sure you tune in to BBM 98.7. You're sampling the best.
Better than all the rest. Welcome back to the show. It's at the end now. Yirrlum, some really important observations and comments made during the program. What's your final words of wisdom for today?
Just that point that was made during the show was about the sovereignty is still living in the blood of the people of this land. You know, it's still here. It hasn't passed, no matter what's been put forward on Australian paper to do with land rights or anything to do with that. All of that comes second. You know, it's the fact that the lands of this country have never been ceded. The sovereignty still continues, and everybody has the opportunity to step up like Edindji has and just simply put it down on paper.
Colonel.
Have a good day. We're having a bit of rain up here too, up Gimoy, and yeah, everything going real good. We've got to keep it up now, keep on keeping on, fighting for our rights. Let him know the fire's still going yet. Have a good day, Cully.
Ganyara.
Well, he mentioned a bit of rain. It hadn't put our fire out. Our fire is waterproof. It is, you know, and it's always been here. Yeah. And no matter how wet this country is, it's always been here. But it's good rain. Is that, you know, get good fish out of good rain. So, look, you've got to assert your sovereignty. Australia's not going to give it to you. Mm. And you've got to understand how you assert your sovereignty. And it ain't through the Australian identity. If you want to be seen as an Australian, I wish you the best of luck. You know, I hope you do well in the future. But you're an Australian. You're being seen through a legal personality. They don't have any right to be on our country because now our legal identities are back, doing the right thing, trying to secure the future for those Australian identities who are in belligerent occupation of our country. We're not the belligerent occupant. That's the most important part. The Australians are. If you want to be seen through it, welcome to that world.
Yeah, and just mentioning that stuff before, Ganyara, about, you know, the reason why the Edindji government is here, you know, people say, why are you just creating another office just like everywhere else? Because that's one of the most common things that we hear from different tribes around the world. On this continent, when we go and talk with them, oh, we don't do what they've done. Well, we're not. But what you're doing is you need to bring back that piece of paper because that's their language. That's their God, pretty much, is all these pieces of paper and everything else. So you're going to have to let them know on that piece of paper what your tribe is about, what the law is, so they can see it. And because seeing is believing for them, the same way you got that video and people will look at it, they're going to say, oh, that's pretty good, or unless they're going to say it's AI and it was manufactured. So all those things are there for a reason. I think it's very important now that each and every nation get behind. Like Colin was saying there, that sovereignty and to rebuild the nation, it's still there and it's waiting for you to do that. And no one else can do it apart from yourselves. So in saying that now, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to the show. In the almighty name of Yeshua, he is the way, the truth and the life. We'll catch you next week. Colin. Thank you.
Love. I just wanna grow old, be on my country, one with my mother, feel her above me, sun in my face while the riverbed hugs me, but without our mother then we all have nothing, can't even fathom the way they mistreat her, leave her with nothing and suck dry a river, this is a world that we leave for our children, a place left for ruins cause leaders don't listen, I'm sick of us preaching by killing our motherland. Best believe she got that upper hand. You heard her, she'll reset herself again. Her biggest mistake was ever created man. And this is what they done to her. Is it too late to fix? Maybe it's time that they listen to old way. Cause old way is the way she's safe for our kids. She's protected us. I wanna stand tall in that one with my mother. But where's the respect when they keep taking from her? Where's all the love and the depth and the honor for land that you live on? They breaking the promises. Land of the lucky, not land of the minds. Destroying our country in front of your eyes. And you stuck staying blind. Stuck being quiet to the fact that the future's now dim for our kids. Yeah, greed rules the world. But I got a question. Where do you go when there's nowhere to dig? They poisoned our waters. They're killing our brim. But they're sucked dry land till there's nothing to give. So as long as them county farms are in beers, my people will have nothing left for our kin.
My little boy came up to me in the kitchen this evening while I was making dinner, and he handed me a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping my hands on my apron, I read it. And this is what it said. For mowing the lawn, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. Playing with little brother while you went to the store, 25 cents. For taking out the rubbish, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, I looked at him standing there expectantly, and a thousand memories flashed through my mind. And so I picked up the pen, and turning the paper over, this is what I wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For the nights I've sat up with you, doctored you, prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears that you cost through the years, there's no charge. When you add it all up, the cost of my...